desire and interest in your prayers and your attention this morning. I'd like for us to turn to Proverbs, the 21st chapter. Asking the Lord to give us something specific for our day today. It seems like the Lord compressed one verse here in Proverbs 21 to me. I think about the book of Proverbs, and it's vastly different, I believe, than just secular proverbs or proverbs of wise people that have lived down through time. I believe the book of Proverbs that we have is part of the inspired Word of God. And when it's that, it falls in a category where the Lord is able to utilize these proverbs of and accounts that the writer has put down for us. The Lord is able to open them up and add dimensions to them as time goes on that maybe we didn't get the first time around. And there's been a lot of proverbs that mankind has written down, and some of them are just real thought-provoking, a lot of truth in them. But I believe that the proverbs that we have in the Scripture are even more helpful, or they're just more wisdom there. It's better stuff. So that's the way I look at the book of Proverbs. You know, if you were to ever start having a Bible study on the book of Proverbs, it seems like that it just the horizons are just way out there of the things and the topics that's covered in the book of Proverbs. It covers our everyday relationships. It covers our responsibilities. It covers our interaction with God. There's just so many things that the book of Proverbs, it just seems to go on and on and on of the territory that it covers. So in the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, I'd like to read, beginning in verse 1, we'll read down through verse 12. It says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice, and high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteous, but of every one that is hasty only to want. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro from them that seek death. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them, because they refuse to do judgment. The way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness." Now, I read this passage of Scripture, these 12 verses, because I feel like it just gives us a little sample of the broad spectrum that the book of Proverbs addresses. We find here so many things that it just seems like when I read the book of Proverbs, especially 12 verses like this, my mind is just like just like going off. There's all kinds of little thoughts and ideas. It starts being stimulated in my mind to think of all the implications that these individual verses are have in my life and in my mind and in my soul. So I want to be someone that, like the 11th verse, it says, "And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge." Now, I would like to make the assumption that all of us feel like that we have some wisdom. And I would like to think that all of us would consider ourselves wise enough to accept instruction. I'll just speak for myself. I feel like that I am wise enough to receive instruction. But did you know that at the very onset of someone giving me instruction, many times I find myself resisting, especially if I think I already know. And I'm old enough to think I already know in a lot of things, you see. So there's just a lot of wisdom here in knowing. This is a proverb, but it's not just a man's proverb. It's from the Lord. It's in His inspired word. And He says that He talks about when the wise are instructed, he receiveth knowledge. And I think, Lord, help me. You know, if I think I know how to do something and somebody comes along and says, you know, I've had this happen to me, not recently so much, but in through the course of my life, I've had somebody walk up to me on my job and just say, "You're doing that wrong." What do you do in a situation like that? I mean, how do you respond to that tactfully? When something that is untactful been said to you, then how do you reciprocate? How do you respond to that? As somebody walks up to you and says and watches you maybe for just a few minutes, and sometimes that can make you feel uncomfortable. Somebody just standing there looking over your shoulder, and then they say, "You're doing that wrong." You know, that's not a very comfortable situation at all. Lord, help us to be wise enough to receive instruction. That's the reason I said that. Now, I'd like for us to look at the second verse here. This is the one I feel real inspired to share what I feel like the Lord has given us. He says here, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. So the wisdom here is that we would receive instruction, all of us, I myself included. And I feel like the Lord is standing there, sitting there, however you want to picture Him, and He is ready to help us in all of our troubles. It doesn't matter what our troubles are. I believe He's ready. And it's just like, you know, He's at the verge that if He moves anymore, He's just going to engulf us type thing. You know, there's a point. Yesterday we was working on a little roofing project, and I'm not near as agile as I used to be, and certainly not maybe as agile as some are. I've never been one that could really stand up and walk down the top plate of a wall and bend over at my waist and mark out rafters and stuff. I've just never been one of those kind of people. But I was standing up and walking along, you know, 1 foot on a rafter and 1 foot on a top plate, and I was making it pretty good for who I am. But there comes a time that if we're not careful, we're going to be overbalanced and we're going to be committed to falling. And there's not a whole lot we can do about it. And the Lord, I want us to get this image. The Lord is like right there. And all He's wanting us to say is, "Lord, help me with my troubles. Help me with the dilemma that I have." And He's committed. He's just gonna engulf us with His presence, and He's gonna start working and helping us to see what it is. And if we're wise enough to receive instruction, we're gonna start seeing how things fit together. But He's just standing there on the verge of just scooping us up so much. And a lot of times we, as humanity, is like, not right now. I want to revel in this just a little bit more. I think I got this under control. And that a lot of times we're that way as humanity. But the words here in this proverb says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. So as I was thinking about this, it only stands to reason that if every way of a man is right in his own eyes, that we as individuals see things that are not right in others. Right? Would you agree with that? We're all unique individuals, are we not? So when we think about ourselves, especially when you get to be middle-aged and on over the hump of middle age, you start thinking about all the things that you know. Sometimes you do. And everything, every way of you seems right. Well, obviously, I've got more experience than someone that's 15 or someone that's 21, so obviously I've done something right. And we begin to feel secure in that. And just as I begin to feel secure in every way that is right in my eyes, when I begin to survey the others that are around me, I begin to recognize, well, they don't do it like I do, so that must be wrong. I believe that's a fair assumption. I hope you agree with me this morning. It's because we're all different. All right? Now, all of you know that we have had 4 sons. And you would think if you had 4 of one thing, that it would be kind of boring, wouldn't you? four of something, you know. Now, all of us here can relate. You know, if you have a daughter and have a son, and whichever one came first, you can say, well, yeah, there's no question. They're going to be different. But 4 of the same thing, you know, that have to be just kind of same songs, 3rd verse, 4th verse, you know, just kind of boring. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's not. It's not. All 4 of them is just as distinct as north, south, east, and west. Okay? They've all been different. And you know, they have been very readily down through the course of them growing up in our home. They found plenty wrong with each other because they thought they were doing things right. And they've pointed out, that's not right. You're infringing in my territory or whatever it is. They've been able to discern that something is wrong with my brother. Okay? But just like it happens in a family, it can happen in a wider spectrum when we come together as a congregation, when we're just associating with our co-workers, whatever we're doing. I've found this, I don't feel like I've been a person that has just tried to capitalize on people that didn't do things like the way I did it. But it doesn't mean I didn't see it. All right? It doesn't mean that I didn't recognize that they'd done something different than I did. Sometimes I'd come home and told my family about somebody doing something different, and I've told them why I thought it was wrong. Like I thought, well, you know, they could have saved themselves so much time if they'd just done it the way I did it. And why did I think that? It's because the way my ways was right in my mind. Okay? I've also been pretty convinced about something being right in my own mind and lived long enough to find out that I was wrong. So, you know, it does happen. That just no matter how convinced you are in your mind that you're doing something right, it can come to the place you realize, I was wrong. That's not really the way it needs to be. So I'd like to move on. I'm trying to get us to think about this morning of how just as it's easy for us to perceive that the way that we approach life, it doesn't mean if it's the way you approach, I'm including everything about life, whether it's our work ethics, whether we what time we get up, what we do to prepare for our work, how meticulous we are about our work, or how we approach our relationships with other people, how we approach our relationships with God. We're here at church, so we're obviously focused on wanting to maintain a relationship with the Lord. Our objective for coming here is so that we get to go to heaven later on. And no matter all of these aspects of life, it's easy for us to perceive that what we're doing is the right thing to do. But it's the thing I want us to really consider is it's just as easy for me to look on somebody and say, that's all wrong. Because it's not the way I do it. It's different. It's not something, and there may be something that's wrong. But it's so easy for us to come to that initial conclusion, it's just wrong. Because it's not my way. It's not the right way in my eyes. So I'd like for us to go to 2 Corinthians and notice something in the New Testament here. And I'd like for us to be mindful of our relationships with one another. It's, as I said, it's easy for us to capitalize on the things that I do as being right, talking about us as individuals. And it's also very easy. I think it's just as easy for me to determine things that someone else is doing what I feel like is wrong because it's not what I do. And if we go to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in the 7th verse, he says, do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. I believe we could pause there and say that Paul recognized that there was differences in the way he approached things and the way other people maybe approach things. And he says, let such as one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of the things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule, which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached out not unto you, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labor, but having hope. When your faith is increased, that he shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. Now, my perception of what Paul is saying to us here is that he had a real desire for the gospel to go beyond just his generation. He wanted those that he was speaking to be able to carry the gospel message on to others, not just let it stop right there. And dear ones, I have a real burden that the gospel message would go on and not just stop in my generation, not just stop in this location, but that it would go on. And I feel like the Lord would like to permeate our society with salvation, with the gospel message. The reality of deliverance from sin, the reality of living a godly life, I believe is just as real today as it's ever been. I believe it's possible. I believe we're capable of that as humanity. And Paul's desire was that it would go on. But he says there's some caution that we've got to think about here. He says in the 12th verse, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." What's happening? We're beginning to... we perceive things about other people. We witness things about it. We see what they're doing. We think we know what they're thinking. And then we start comparing ourselves to them. And if we're not careful, the enemy will allow us to get into a place where we start throwing up all kinds of roadblocks and barriers, and we start being more and more isolated in ourselves because we can't associate. There's something, I know what I'm doing is the right thing, so what they're doing has to be the wrong thing. And I'm not talking, my message today is not about tolerating ungodliness, all right? But my message today is about us doing more than just identifying what we're doing as right and what someone else is doing as wrong. Okay? And I'm not talking about right and wrong as far as sin and righteousness. I'm talking about how we approach things and how we address life. You know, one of the biggest challenges I have is knowing how to work with people that don't approach things the way I do. And I'm certain other people have just as much trial with me as they are to me. It goes both ways. And, you know, one person is wants to organize maybe the trash in the trash can, and the other person says, "We got more trash bags. Don't waste your time with doing that." You see, it's not a right and wrong in God. It's just the way somebody thinks. Oh, I'm being conservative. We're going to save using up all those trash bags. Well. Okay, but it's not an issue to have a conflict over, you see. It's not, but there's been big things made out of small stuff like that. But I go back to what I said earlier. I believe the Lord is there wanting to help us. I'm going to tell you a story that I've told multiple times, and it's one of those things that just stands out in my mind. I hadn't been working in a garage very long, and this fellow I worked with, he was had his own peculiarities. I'll give you, certainly give him that room. But they brought a vehicle in there to him and said that's got this problem. And the customer says, well, here, I'm going to show you what it's doing. And they get in there and they go to cranking the vehicle. And as soon as they let go of the key, it would die. So they started again, let go of it, and it died. They started again, and they let go, and it died. And they started again, and let go, and it died. And they started again, and let go, and it died. They started again, let go, and it died. And I don't know how long this went on, but it went on long enough that this fellow that was supposed to work on it, he went over by this toolbox, and he just sat down, and he put his hands in his head. And the spouse of the customer walks over to him and says, aren't you going to fix my car? And he said, I can't as long as they're in there messing with it. And you know, that's the way we are. Many times the Lord wants to help us with our conflicts with other people. And our conflicts with the things that we see, they're just going about this wrong. And you know, my dad, the most frustrated I ever seen him, he would say something like, for crying out loud. You ever remember him saying that? And when he was just exasperated to the end, that's what I heard my dad say, for crying out loud. Why don't they see this? You know, people got on my dad's nerves too. And if anybody here really knew him, you would have thought he was a pretty even-tempered person. But people got on his nerves too. And a lot of times it was because somebody didn't do it like he thought they ought to do it. But you know, the Lord can help. He helped my dad. He can help us. When we have these things and we start being abrasive to one another and all, the Lord is right there. All He wants us to do is quit cranking on it. And letting it die, cranking on it and letting it die, cranking on it. The Lord wants us to just back. I want us to go back to the Proverbs, the 21st chapter, and notice how that verse ends up. We can just focus on the part that says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. And we can just go off on some long tangent like that. But notice what the last part of that verse says. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. The Lord knows what's going on deep down inside. And you know, there's been times that I feel like, or I have felt like, that someone was trying to get me to agree with something that I didn't agree with. You know, that I just couldn't go for. And they were just working on me and working on me and working on me. And I finally had to come to the place that I said, you know, I don't agree with whatever the issue might be, but the Lord knows what's going on here. I just have to leave it with them sometimes. As many times we're gonna have to say, Lord, I need your help right here. I don't understand where these folks are coming from. I don't understand why they said what they did to me. I've had things said to me that were hurtful to me. And today I go back and I think about what someone said, and it's like, Lord, that was mean. I'd have been a lot better off if they hadn't have said that to me. But I have to come to the place that I'm willing to leave it with the Lord, where He says, but the Lord pondereth the heart. He knows what's deep down inside. He knows whether you're, you know, I know they ascribe that capability to another character, but God really does know what's going on down in your heart. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. He knows what your motivations are. He knows what's behind it all. And yes, sometimes it seems like everybody else is doing things wrong. It seems that way sometimes. I know there's a... Um, there's individuals that I have real high respect and regard for that they just go about things different than I do. They just, there's things that's super important to them that's not important to me, and there's things that's really important to me that they don't see the need in it. And they've probably as much or more vocal about what's important and not important than I am. So every time that I work closely with this one person in particular, I'm talking about really working together, maybe on a difficult situation or something. Every time I'm put in that place, I think, Lord, help me to look beyond our personality differences, because we are vastly different. And I have to ask the Lord, help me to know how, because I really appreciate this person, I respect this person, I have confidence in this person, but every time we closely associate, it's like I go away feeling like I'm disappointing them somehow, because I'm not maybe as strong in one area or another. And I'm sure maybe they feel like they disappoint me. I don't know. But I'm just telling you that we start looking on how my methods are. That's really what I want us to get a hold of. My methods may seem to be perfect. Every way I go, it just seems right. It's just natural. Give me tie my right hand behind me and tell me to sign a bunch of documents with my left hand, and it just is not natural. I don't even know if somebody could recognize it hardly. But when I meet somebody that's the other way around, a person I know today, he's as left-handed as I am right-handed, and he's got a problem with his left hand now, and he can't write. And he says, oh, it's a trial on him. It's a burden to him to be able to do things with his right hand. And it's like, well, if something's going to happen, let's make it happen to the left hand. I can still get along with my right hand. But our methods, Lord, help us that our methods and the way that we don't allow them to get out of proportion, and we begin to start measuring and judging one another just in the method part. I'm not talking about taking stands on whether something is right or wrong in the eyes of God. That's not what I'm talking about. Lord, help me to not allow my perception of everything I'm doing being right to justify classifying everything how my brother goes about it as wrong. Lord, help me to do that. My burden today is that you would accept our little counsel. The word says the righteous man, let's go back up there and read that verse. 11th verse said, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. I want to receive instruction. I want to be wiser when I read the scriptures in Proverbs. I want to be more capable. I want to be more compassionate. It's easy for us to gravitate to people that do things the way we do it. It's easy to gravitate to them. It's so easy to just kind of fall in stride with somebody that has the same kind of habits that you do. It's so easy to fall in and just feel close with someone that maybe just addresses fixing things the way you do, cleaning things the way you do, preparing a meal the way it's just so easy to fall in with them. And when someone does it different than that, it's like, how do I work with them? And the devil wants to take advantage of all of us right there. The devil wants to take advantage of the situation and make this perception of, well, I'm right and he's wrong, and just make a big mountain out of it to the point that we can't even get close to one another. And that's the very thing that the gospel come to tear down, is all the barriers and the barricades. And so if I am, if you think I'm freakish in the way I go about something, the Lord will give you some tolerance for me, and that we can work together for a common cause. You know, what does the scripture say? That he puts the members in the body as it sees fit to him. You know, every one of us have a different function. You know, every one of us have a different responsibility to the Lord. And if we allow, I'm so glad that I don't have to try to write with my feet. But I'm sure glad I got feet. You know, I'm so glad that I can stand today. I'm so glad that I'm not having to use my feet to write my name and all of those, and to dress myself. I know there's people that's learned how to do it, and I applaud them for the things that they have done. But I'm so glad that we have those different components. I'm so glad there's people that have levels of compassion that I don't know how to do. I'm glad there's people that have areas of expertise that seem to escape me. And Lord, help us to be able to work together in our efforts to bring a furtherance to His cause in the world that we live in. You pray for me.